Translation. O son of Bhrigu, Shonaka, when the child Parikshit, the great fighter, was in the womb of his mother Uttara and was suffering from the burning heat of the Brahmastra thrown by Ashvatthama, he could observe the Supreme Lord coming to him. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai. Prabhupada starts with a very striking sentence. Death generally involves remaining in trance for 7 months. A living being, according to his own action, is allowed to enter into the womb of a mother by the vehicle of a father's semen, and thus he develops his desired body. This is the law of birth in specific bodies according to one's past actions. When he is awake from trance, he feels the inconvenience of being confined within the womb, and thus he wants to come out of it. And sometimes, fortunately, prays to the Lord for such liberation. Maharaj Parikshit, while in the womb of his mother, was struck by the Brahmastra released by Ashvatthama, and he was feeling the burning heat. But because he was a devotee of the Lord at once appeared himself within the womb by his all-powerful energy, and the child could see that someone else had come to save him. Even in that helpless condition, the child Parikshit endured the unbearable temperature due to his being a great fighter by nature. Baby fighter. And for this reason, the word Viraha, this means hero, has been used. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskajari Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We all have heard about this incident where Ashvatthama, when he could see that the war was lost for the Kauravas, became desperate and took to really undharmic ways of fighting. What he did is he first killed the five sons of the Pandavas while they were sleeping, and later he released a Brahmastra to destroy the last surviving heir of the Pandavas, the Parikshit Maharaj, who was still a little embryo in the womb of his mother Uttara. So we also have heard that finally, after all this terrible slaughter, the cycle of violence was broken by one Mataji. Yes, this is significant. When Ashwatthama had thrown the Brahmastra, Arjuna, with his celebrated divine charioteer, Lord Krishna, went after Ashwatthama and actually that was when he had just killed the five sons of the Pandavas. I'm sorry. Then Arjuna, in order to take revenge, went after Ashwatthama, and after first neutralizing the weapon which Ashwatthama hurled at him in deadly fright, Arjuna was able to capture Ashwatthama and bring him back to the crying Draupadi, who was wailing over the death of her five sons. And Arjuna's idea in not handling Ashwatthama at the confrontation of the two warriors and not killing him there was that Draupadi, the mother of these children, she should mete out the punishment, because Arjuna reasoned then Draupadi's pain would leave her if she would, take care of the revenge. Normally we say like this, when you are hurt, then you either need an apology of the other person that totally satisfies you, or you just want to see that they are getting their right reaction. So when the brutal slaughterer Ashwatthama was brought before Draupadi, Draupadi had his life in his hands. One word of her and he would be executed on the spot. But Draupadi decided to spare the life of Ashwatthama. She said, "The violence must stop at one stage, at one spot in time. It must now stop, and it will stop here. Ashwatthama should be freed. If he is killed, then his mother will cry like me, and then it will continue. There will be a counter-reaction from the side of those who are close to Ashwatthama, and the violence, violence can never be ended by violence. Criticism can never be ended by counter-criticism. At one stage, someone has to get the inner strength and say, it has to stop now. And you can't expect the other to stop. If you are, you have to stop. It takes more strength to be non-violent than it takes strength to be violent. And Draupadi, who was the cause of the battle of Kurukshetra in one perspective, because she was humiliated in public, and that tipped really the scale. Draupadi ended the circle of violence. Of course, you know, I said Draupadi was in one perspective the cause. It was all Krishna's arrangement, we all know that, but I just wanted to bring out this little point. Ashwatthama then later was still not pacified. He threw this Brahmastra to kill Parikshit, but now the Supreme Lord came and saved Parikshit. There's a very interesting point which Prabhupada makes, that normally when a person dies, he goes into an inactive state. Prabhupada calls it trance, where he does not perceive very much from outside stimuli, something he perceives. And then he awakens after 7 months. When he is already 7 months in the womb, he awakens to consciousness. And if he is fortunate, Prabhupada says, he will pray to the Lord. Jiva Goswami describes this fortune. He says some souls are very pious. They had contact with Krishna consciousness in a previous life, or with God consciousness in a previous life. And these fortunate souls, they see the Lord. Not the atheists, or the very who are not developed in consciousness, but those who have developed already the consciousness in a previous life, they see the Lord as Paramatma. And they pray to the Lord with beautiful prayers, which you can find in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. My desire in giving this lecture is to ask a question to you. Hare Krishna. The question is, how does the Lord appear to you? I see we have 2 sleeping members at the moment. Prabhu, you look very charismatic when you are asleep. How does the Lord appear to a Hare Krishna devotee? Huh? Does he appear to us? Does he listen to our prayers? Does he note your efforts in service and sadhana and seva? And is it possible that he appears to you? Is this a question which we are allowed to ask, or is it coming in the sahajiya realm where we become highly uncomfortable? How does the Lord appear? And is he appearing to you? Where do you look for the Lord? On the altar? In your heart? Do you wait for some miracle to happen? That the dryness and emptiness in the heart recedes? How does the Lord appear to a modern devotee? Is it that he has appeared to some of us who have really evolved souls? Like Buddha Bhavana? That he has appeared to them in the womb but not to me? And will he never appear? This is a question, I believe, which we need to approach carefully, but very curiously. After all, this is a movement for God consciousness, and so on. It's all about, service to the Lord, and it's all about the Lord. My dear devotees, the first introduction with which a living entity, a normal living entity, has to the Lord is in the form of His holy name. This is how the Lord appears in the life of a conditioned soul. And if the conditioned soul is informed by the acharyas, he will cultivate the chanting of the holy name in such a way that he will realize that the name and Krishna are not different. Mark the word realize. It won't be a concept for him. It will not be a philosophical understanding. But he actually will meet the form of the Lord who speaks to him and who grants him darshan and blessings in the holy name. A second form in which the Lord appears to the devotees is through the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the Bhagavatam must be approached in the proper way. It's a little bit difficult to navigate. I have a few books here. I want to start my lecture today by saying you have to approach this culture of Krishna consciousness not just as a religion whereby which you can request God to help you in your life. You, as you are now, you have to approach him, the Bhagavatam and the whole culture of Krishna consciousness, as something that is beyond even this world. You have to be ready to accept that this is about transformation. And let me be just very disturbingly clear. It is about transformation of identity. We think at the moment of ourselves related to the body. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a German and an Englishman, and so on. But by entering the culture of Krishna consciousness, that concept, which is based on material identification, will be changed. So when you go to the Bhagavatam, for instance, one of the main changer or agents of transformations, you have to approach the work with the understanding that this book or this work is not just for information or entertainment of intellectual curiosity, for instance. No, the purpose of the Bhagavatam is transformation. I would like to read to you something on this subject from the purport of Srila Prabhupada. It's from the fourth canto, chapter 22. If you want to find it, it's verse 25. Yes. He says, this is has a lot of traffic, this lecture. We can increase our propensity for devotional service by hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from realized souls. As you hear, in other words, your propensity, it's called in Sanskrit, matihi, will be increased. That's your inclination, that's your life orientation. And this is how it works. He explains it. The more we hear from realized souls, the more we make advancement in our devotional life. And the more we advance in devotional life, the more we become detached from the material world. The more we become detached from the material world, wow, what happens? This is a real journey now. As advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the more we increase in attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, yes, and it continues. Mark the Prabhupada's words here. He describes a transformational journey where you will come from the false understanding of I and mine, identity or material identification, to an understanding who you are as a servant of Krishna. And you will become attached to Krishna, and this rare item which even Brahma and Shiva, Brahma the creator and Shiva the destroyer of this world, coveted, they wanted the love of Godhead, transcendental love of Godhead, will enter your heart. This is wonderful. This immediately will point us to a question. What qualification do I have to develop in order to go in this into this transformational journey where my I and mine will be transformed? Well, the Bhagavatam uses the word Shraddhadana. Shraddhadana, Prabhupada translates variously as seriously inquisitive. In another text, he translates it as with care and attention. Though, although, my dear devotee, everyone in some ways can hear the Bhagavatam and can enter the culture of Krishna consciousness, therefore, those who are serious in this journey, who take it as all what it means, the transformation, they stand greater chance to make it. Sanat Kumar advises Prithu Maharaj, therefore this comes in the fourth canto, there is no stronger obstruction to one's self-interest than thinking other subject matters to be more pleasing than one's self-realization. If you want to find this, it's 4:22:32. No stronger obstruction than we should look at this word self-realization. In psychology, you would translate it as self-actualization, same thing. C.G. Jung, who formed this term, explained it like this. The small self has always a drive, an urge to realize the Supreme Self. He says this is, as far as psychology knows, the strongest urge within the human mind. No? This urge must be there also in Krishna consciousness, obviously. Those who strongly desire to cross the ocean of nations, it says like this, strongly desire. Good. This is the transformational journey. And the Bhagavatam assists us like no other work in this. To understand the Bhagavatam properly, I was fortunate to discuss yesterday with Krishna Dharma Prabhu and his good wife Chintamani a process of, reflecting about the teaching is very, very apt. The old process which is given in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad for digesting scripture is threefold. You hear a work, hear this called Shravana, then you reflect about it. That's called manaha, manana, manana. This is very important. If you just hear, like many of you do in Bhagavatam class, okay, that's what we do before I get prasadam. Ugh. I better sit here, otherwise, if I miss it too often, my prasadam will be reduced. No, you must hear and then immediately enter this manana, means reflection process. You can do this in various ways. Prabhupada suggests that we discuss the subject matter from various angles of vision and other things he says about this. But reflecting, you must run it through your brain. Otherwise, you don't own it. Let me show you, for those who are visually interested. When you just hear, only hear, it goes like this, zoop, and then zoop, it goes out through the other ear. If you hear, and then you reflect, there's something in you which says, stop, I must think about it. What does this mean? How does this relate to me? The information doesn't pass through you. It is stopped here. I'm just making it graphically. Of course, there's no hand in the brain. There is a reflection process which stops it. Zip. And then it can go into your heart and purify your heart from various considerations, various thoughts, and so on. But the process is not complete by hearing and reflecting. If you want a transformation, the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad advises do nididhyasan. Nididhyasan means literally deep meditation about it. It means it has also an active connotation and translation. It means you have to apply the subjects. Hare Krishna, welcome, both of you. Hare Krishna. You have to apply, because while applying the teachings, the book will open to you. You will see what it says. Ah, now I see. Acha, this is what was explained. I had a deep realization about this when I was a very brand new devotee. Now, I warn you, I was young, I was foolish, and I was angry. It's a very unhealthy combination when I became a devotee. A dangerous fool, no, an active fool. So I had heard that by preaching Krishna consciousness, by talking Krishna consciousness, you become a dear servant of Krishna, and you will make also realizations in your heart. Somehow that was there. So I decided, let me go to the most difficult place to preach. Don't recommend it for young bhaktas. I went to a place in my in the town where our temple was, and which I knew from before. It was a place of the avant-garde young people. They believed in music, drugs, and the free expression of sensuality. So I went there to preach. Maybe I was still a little bit curious to see how my friends were doing. And I went into this place. I came into a room where two young people were enjoying material life. And I thought, well, stop for a moment. Here is Prasadam, and here is a book for you. And you just need to give a little donation. And they were so surprised that they gave a substantial donation. And I went out of the room to go to other rooms and places. And I remember, as I was trying, I may have had not all only the best motives, but there was a good motive. I wanted to preach Krishna consciousness to my friends from before, to the people I used to associate with. I wanted to show them, here's something which helps you to move out of the endless treadmill of material existence. You can now become start your free life, really. And I remember this was a driving force. As I left that avant-garde place, there were musicians and people who believed in arts and in free expressions of their words and poesy and so on. There, I left and I had a realization. I could understand for the first time in my life that Krishna consciousness really offered an alternative to the idea to expand one's limitations. And I really became very happy. I was not attacked by material desires as I was there, because I could see this is a chapter which is causing endless misery. I'm not at all attracted to this. Some realization came into my life, which came just by applying the knowledge. So these three things. What do you do with the Bhagavatam? Here, then. What would be appropriate ways of reflecting? Sharing, discussion, maybe sitting for some time and thinking, what does it mean? I know Sutapa Prabhu has written a book, it's called The Book Bhagavata, where he does a wonderful reflection aided with scriptural knowledge, and the knowledge of the Bhagavatam becomes all of a sudden extremely relevant by the process of reflection. No? And then what do you do in the end? Application. I'm sorry, I did not acoustically hear you. So then when you do this, my dear devotees, a wonderful, let me say, effect is there. You will actually be so much transformed that Krishna will manifest within the heart. And this is really the idea of Bhagavatam. Right in the beginning, this great work tells us what happens in Bhagavatam. And remember our question, will Krishna appear to me? It will be answered now. Dharma prochita kaita vatra paramo nimatsaranam satam vetyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapata yon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni krite kingva pare ishvara sadyo rityavarutyate trakriti bi Shushu bhistachanad. It tells us what is the subject. It's the highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. I mean, this is genius. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. I mean, could you be more appealing to the modern mind? No? Such truth does something to you. It uproots the threefold miseries. You become free from that suffering. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadev in his maturity. Wow, he was at the peak of his realization when he compiled it. This is sufficient in itself for God realization. Wow! What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively listens to this now, I know some of you have fallen asleep already, but come back to me. As soon as one attentively and submissively, hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Did you hear that? Krishna comes in the heart. You meet him there. Just by hearing the Bhagavatam. Now you will say, Maharaj, your lecture is absolutely frustrating. You know how many years I'm sitting on these cushions where millions of other people have sat before me. Nothing has happened for me of the things you tell me. This is religious dogma. It is so unappealing to my mind. I'm always hearing high promises and they're never fulfilled. I'm hearing in your lecture how Krishna appears. Do you think I'm insincere? Do you think I'm not interested in my self-realization? Calm down, my dear devotee who questions like this. I have questions like this all the time. You can go in two ways. You can say, is there maybe something I don't know yet or don't do properly? Or is there a method I have missed? Who of you likes sugarcane juice? It has all the minerals. It's sweet, healthy sweet. Of course, some say all sweets are unhealthy, but anyway, according to one school, it is healthy sweet. The sugarcane juice is there in the plant, the sugarcane. And when you see the plant, you have no idea that there is such a juice inside. You also cannot access the juice. What you need to do is you need to bring it to a machine. Here I lack the proper English word. It's two cylinders which work. How do we call it?
A grinder.
No, grinder is when it goes zzzz. Crusher, yeah, crusher. There are better English words for this. Even a German can figure out. No, isn't it a waltz? No, waltz is a dance. Eine eiserne Walze in German language. What? A presser. You know what it is. These two wheels, which if you put your finger inside, goodbye finger. It's dangerous. But if you put a sugar cane in there and it runs, then this wonderful juice comes out. The Bhagavatam has also hidden inside its paid verses a wonderful rasa, which should be drunk even the Bhagavatam advises pibantya, pibant, something, you know, that you should drink it constantly. What's the process of drinking, of extracting the nectar, the amrita? Here is a verse for you which gives three practices, and I will end my lecture here and then open up for questions. It comes in the second canto, chapter 8, text 4, and it is quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That's here is where I found it first. I mean, I had read this verse, but nothing had struck me, but then I reread it. The verse says, Shrinvata Shadaya Nityam Grinatascha Svacheshtitam Kalena Natidirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously, again the word Shradaya comes up, will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. Wow. There are three recommendations in the shloka. First, you hear Shradaya. In earnestness, Prabhupada translates here. There is also the word Shraddha in there, with faith. You must hear it, however, with transcendental faith. Yesterday I gave in the evening a lecture where I mentioned Preeto Maharaj, and afterwards one devotee came to me and said, Maharaj, do you believe Preeto Maharaj was churned from the dead body of Vena? There was no woman there and the body was dead. I mean, what is this? I said, well, there are things beyond your perception. For instance, the stars in the sky. You will need a telescope to see them. Otherwise, you will not see them. These far away stars, not the close ones. And this Bhagavatam talks about matters that cannot be understood with lokika shraddha, that is, faith which is based on worldly experience. It talks about far, 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 far and more interesting things, which are far, far more beyond. And by the way, I said to the devotee, you do not know many things. I know black magic. And I know this is possible in black magic. I have not seen it, but because I was not going to these sessions, they were too dark, but my friend has seen. There are many things which you normal people don't know about. I said like this. Shradaya, you must be willing to invest faith in something which is beyond your limited horizon. And especially in transcendental matters, especially in transcendental matters, because there your mind has no entrance. It cannot go there. Then nityam, regularly you must do it. Don't we all know when we stop our Bhagavatam reading, when we come back to it, oh, we are so dull, nothing goes into our head. We read the same sentence again and again. And what does it say? What does it please say? Regularly. In my room where I stay, I have an English kettle. And if I want hot water, I have to supply a regular supply of electricity. Not on and off, on and off, on and off. It will never get hot. So regularly you must hear Bhagavatam, so that a progression can take place for you. No, it's a progression towards the boiling point, no, where something changes in you. And svasheshtitam is translated here by Prabhupada, seriously, by one's own endeavor. What is the endeavor we must do to hear Bhagavatam? A good question, no? Is it just? Srila Prabhupada describes it in the first canto. He says, one must pay rapt attention. And then he says, this is not possible when the mind is impure and has so many other thoughts. And the mind will remain impure if one is not pure in his habits of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. In other words, when one eats, you know, wrongly, I would say also, if one eats 10 kg of cake in the night before one goes to bed, you know, sattvic life habits. But if you somehow manage with attention, and you will know when you want to be attentive, you said, okay, you have to see my mind. What? Oh my God, my mind, I can't be attentive. Oh, now I know. I always hear the music which I listen to, I have this extracurriculum reading habits. I read other agitating literature. And therefore I can't concentrate. Okay, I want to try this out. I will make a svacheshtitam, my own endeavor. Sva means one's own, cheshtitam endeavor has to be there. Then you get so much. So what are the three qualifications the Bhagavatam says, how it can be read, how the nectar gets extracted? Hearing with transcendental faith, then regularly, then seriously, that means with one endeavor, no? that I align my life to this spiritual way. Then the nectar comes, the juice comes from that presser, from your sadhana. Prabhupada writes about this. Parikshit Maharaj had no more than 7 days to live. But for others, Parikshit Maharaj personally recommends that one hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, nityam, always by one's own effort, and with serious devotion also. That will help one to see, listen to this, this is not Sahajiya, this idea. That will help one to see the Lord Sri Krishna manifested in one's heart within no time. My dear devotees, I know you will forget everything about this class because you have an overdose of information in your life. If you just please do me a do yourself a favor and take away a takeaway. That is, please enter the Bhagavatam culture. Seriously, the Lord will manifest if you learn to do it properly. If you have taken notes, you can note down 284. Read it in your own reading time because it will give you an idea. And if you want to take another note, hear, reflect, apply. Not three things. Hear Bhagavatam, reflect about it, and apply it. And Krishna will manifest in your heart. And you will be satisfied, you will feel nourished, encouraged, inspired, enthusiastic, and you will become happy. There will be no misery left for you. And in this way, your life will be sublime. Before ending this class, I would like to say, yesterday I had a very deeply satisfying visit. Krishna Dharma and his good wife were kind enough to visit me and introduce me to a process of discussing the Bhagavatam, reflecting about it. And I have not yet seen the web pages. I will do that when I return to Germany. But the web pages are available for you, and they are available for you. Ooh, that's even better than a web page. And you can inquire. I heard it works very nicely. The process of reflecting, it is really there. And we all know Krishna Dharma Prabhu, he has nourished all of us with his beautiful renditions of Mahabharata and Ramayana, and also now, most notably, the Bhagavatam. So I want to make some advertisement for this process. Advertisement is not the word. I want to encourage you to look in it, because this is the most important project we in the Movement for Krishna Consciousness have. To develop our relationship with Krishna. Hare Krishna. I've come to the end. I do not know your habits. Is there still time for question? Habits means, this is maybe not the right way to express it. Yes, questions, there is. Yeah. Krishna Dharma Prabhu. About what? 284.
284, yeah. The verse you were just speaking about. In the verse itself, it says, Atidirgena, which means a very prolonged time. But in the translation itself, Prabhupada says, within a very short time. So how do we reconcile that? Because it takes a long time, because one might read that verse and think, well, within a very short time, we just have to do this for 2 weeks, you know, and Krishna will manifest. But we know that it actually takes much longer.
One of my godbrothers in Hamburg, no, actually it was not a godbrother, it was a guest, asked Prabhupada once, how long does this take to become Krishna conscious? It was when Srila Prabhupada visited Hamburg, that was really early, I think, 69 or so. I was not there. But I have read this in a transcription, and now you can see Prabhupada's take on this. He said, you may not become Krishna conscious after millions of births. Atidirgena, very prolonged time. Millions of births is a long time, Krishna Dharma Prabhu. It's not a short time. You may become Krishna conscious in a second. And then he said, it all depends on your taking. I have it literally, I've stored it. It all depends on you taking the process seriously. Prabhupada would again and again jump over prolonged time spans with that one word, taking it serious, being sincere with it, applying it. So, how do we reconcile now? There are many statements like this where Prabhupada seems to make it so easy, and you read it and you become inspired, and after some time, oh, did it work for me? And you reflect about it. My reconciliation, my own thoughts on this, but they may not be helpful to you, but I nevertheless share, is studying Krishna conscious philosophy now for quite some time, but I'm not a pandit. Our Shivaram Maharaj is such a knower of the truth. And such a sincere, he knows how to study so nicely. And there are many other Vaishnavas. But what I have seen in Krishna consciousness, there is sadhana, that is sincere spiritual practice, where you need to really put your effort, give your best effort in it. But there seems to be another lane, and that is kripa, or mercy. It's almost like a two-lane street. You go like this with your sadhana, you press forward, but then is another lane, traffic from the other direction, so to say. And that is Krishna's mercy, which is invoked by sincere prayer, for instance. We have seen in our own lifetime, devotees at the deathbed, it happened, I heard, who were all of a sudden getting highest realization and seeing things. But that was kripa. Traffic from the other direction, so to say. And this is a very, very often overlooked aspect, because, yes, we as preachers stress on what we can do, because the kripa is in Krishna's hand. But Krishna has a soft spot for devotees who sincerely, without pretense, frank and open, Prabhupada writes in one purport, try. And even in the Goswami literature, it says, chant this astakam, and then those who do it will see Radha and Krishna. Have you seen these blessings at the end of the astakam? You think, what? Really? Whoa! It's there. So there is the path of mercy. And if I want to tell you very frankly, because you are Krishna Dharma, one of my favorite authors, I do not hold anything back. I'm your fan. In my own application of Krishna consciousness, I somehow have learned to trust in Krishna's mercy. I have seen so many things that I can't close my eyes any longer. I know God loves his devotees. But I think also, if we don't think the mercy can come, if we think, if we have our patterns, guilty and useless and political, and we are so covered, then it may not come, you know. It may be coming one direction, but you don't recognize it as such. Let's open our eyes for the mercy of Krishna, my dear devotees. It is, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? Wasn't that a miracle that you became a devotee? Wasn't that some mercy? I read our Jayadev books, of Jayadev Babu book. You have written a book, autobiographical book, with drum and so on, and how you threw Tony in the swimming pool in France, the bad manager, and how you joked with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I've read everything. It was a great read, no? What? It was poetic license. No, this was a subject which needed to be dealt with in its own language, before Krishna consciousness. Miracle. So I believe very strongly, if we look out more for this, it more will come. I have this Christian joke in my mind. I must tell it. It's not hilarious joke, and also I don't have this British humor. British humor is very skillful in bringing out jokes. You know, I'm not so skillful, but it's about this man. He lives in a village in a valley, and there's a flood catastrophe, and everyone runs, takes the baggage, and so on, and then boats come, and you know, it's what is the word? Evacuated? Is that the word? No, this our man believes in God, so he climbs up his house. The Lord will save me. Then he comes to the attic. The water comes up there. Then he goes to the roof. God will save me. And then the last boat, which brings people in safety, comes by. He sees the man on the roof and says, jump in the boat. The man says, no, God will save me. Not you. What? You don't want to come in the boat? Anyways, everything drowns here, and the boat goes away, but informs a helicopter. Then the helicopter comes and puts down the ladder and come get into the helicopter. This is the last chance for you. And there's loudspeakers, but the man says, thank you, God will come and save me. I'm a sincere believer. And then he drowns. So he is going. This is the Christian joke. Don't ask me for the tattva if it really happened like this. But he goes into heaven and he meets God and he says, why didn't you save me? And then the Lord said, I came twice. I sent the boat and the helicopter, and you said no. I think much of our life is like that. We don't see the mercy, and then we go in our own way, and then we stop being nourished and enriched. There are these two ways. Watch the traffic from the other direction. It may come in a different way than you expected. More often than not, it comes in different cars, in different vehicles. It may not even look like an English car. Hare Krishna. So this is my personal conviction, but more needs to be reflected on this subject. Yes, it says in a prolonged time, and Prabhupada here says, what does he say? This will help one to see the Lord Sri Krishna manifested in one's heart within no time. also, because it's a very good question, I want to say, when you read Bhagavatam, my dear devotees, and you really can read attentively, and you attentively means there are not always this disturbing crossfire of disturbing thoughts going on, you will feel very uplifted afterwards. What is this feeling of upliftment? What it is, you have actually experienced some of the inconceivable spiritual energy of the Lord. Bhakti. Bhakti Devi has come in your heart, and you feel devotionally inclined, who is a manifestation of Srimati Radhika. So there is a divine contact. But as I said, you may not always recognize it as such because you look in another direction. You look into the world of your concepts of what Krishna consciousness could be. And it's concepts. I know this was a strong sentence. which needs further unpacking, but I won't do it. What I want to say, because it's such a strong word, it does need unpacking. When we sometimes have to look two times, and that is why we need to reflect, and then we will see, it's like that, it's not like that. No, that is what I meant. Good. We have until when, Buddha Bhavana? We might have to stop here. I thank you very much, my dear devotees. I hope there was something in it for you. I wish you a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.